This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, so the time is 11 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. Thank you very much to the news teams keeping us up to date with all that is happening in and around South Africa and the world. Today, it's a new day for many of us. One, because we are officially in the first day of the seventh administration. So it's a new day. It's a new day also for Bekitele as the former Minister of Police, who would have to wait to see whether he's retained in government or not when the president finally announces and constitutes his cabinet. But that's just a sidebar issue. We are speaking to the former South African Minister of Police because he was listening into Power Talk on Tuesday when we were talking about the deployment of additional South African police servicemen and women to KwaZulu-Natal. I think a contingent of about 1,200 since the elections began, or pre-election period. And what we were told by the spokesperson for the police on the day was that, no, it's in keeping with the NAT joints, the security clusters strategy to protect institutions around the elections, to allow people to vote in peace, and just to make sure that the post-electoral season is also a relatively orderly one. And their intelligence tells them that there were some flashpoints around the country, of which KZN was one of them. So the beefing up of security is just a response to data. And then we spoke to an expert, Mary De Haas, about the same issue. And she spoke to many, many things in that interview. And one of the points that was raised is, you know, historically, KwaZulu-Natal has been a flashpoint for political violence. And it precedes MK, because she'd spoken a lot about the factions within the ANC, MK. And I said, no, but even in the early 90s, when there was no MK party, KZN was always a hot pot for political turbulence. And so you would beef up security. She then said it's true. And then she went into a whole range of other issues. And we spoke about something that the former minister had raised for him, which were concerns around politically motivated killings of councillors in that part of the world. SALGA had also backed up this statement by Bekitele. And then she responded basically by saying she doesn't believe the stats. She doesn't believe that the data is properly collated, that the administrators understand the data. And then she made a few insinuations about a confluence between politicians and some of the violence, I guess we could say. So sort of the corruptibility of the force. And she mentioned his name directly. So the minister called in and said, I have a right to reply. But also, I would like to use this as an opportunity just to reflect on crime in the country and how we try to tackle it. Bekitele, good morning.
Good morning, Mambele, and your listenership. Happy new day, as you're speaking to the former Minister of Police. Yes, indeed, today, the day you had interview, I was not a former, I was a minister.
We know that. We are well aware of that. And we said Minister Bekitele outgoing, and we know that you yourself have said you'd like to retire. Have you changed your mind?
Definitely, it's a good time to go and stay home, especially when you have never had that opportunity all your life. If the duty calls, you could. But my first prize would be home.
Would be home. Okay, but You've served the nation. Let's just start off with your response to why you called in and why you felt you wanted to just add your voice to this conversation.
Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the whole interview. I was driving between home and the police academy, where I was awarding awards to the police that have served more than 30 years in the service, and also seeing the young ones who have just spent 3 months in the college. Yeah. So we were a part of 10,000 that were training this year. And I had that. I thought... I thought there were things that were not very much correct. By the way, let me make this well understood. I know Professor Merdiaze very well. We worked very, very closely during the violence days, which were very brutal in KZN. Violence. When we came out of prison in 1990s, we came out on the very high level of violence in that province. There was a time, Lerato, where when you ask where we'd be doing next weekend, we definitely knew we'd be attending the funeral. The only thing we didn't know which funeral would be.
Yeah.
When the country went for democratic election in 1994, the violence continued in that province. Hence, Shoba Shobane, when 19 people were killed on the 25th of December. I'm sure you take the note of the day, 25th of December, 1995. Yes. Mm. So that's the kind of the province we're coming from. It does look like remnants and the structures and the fundamentals of that violence have not been flushed out of that province. Mm-hmm. Hence now, which is something I've said time and again, and I'm still saying it, is that most is in Gadi, if you want them, you get them from that province.
Okay.
And I'm not going to retreat in saying so, because I have facts of saying those things.
Let's do this. Let's play the clip, and then let's ask you to correct what you feel was not factual. What we've also done, Minister, is we've just cut out a lot of the other bits of the conversation. Otherwise, we'd be listening for 5-6 minutes. We've just gone to where she literally mentions your name. So please play.
I know that there was a scramble a while back for stats, so perhaps they did cobble together some from different sources. I don't know. But as I said, when they came out with some of them, I wasn't sure, because you also get this position where you say, well, you know, these are... I looked at the minister himself, the outgoing, gone minister, because he's no longer a minister, had been engaging in grossly irregular conduct. I mean, the political killings task team basically was his project, and that team, there's growing evidence that it was just covering for his colleagues who were involved in killings. So... But there are these kind of problems with any stats. And I know that, I mean, when I looked at what they claimed in one of the releases of their successes, I didn't see many that are on a list of political killings. You know, sometimes what they do is include people who are known supporters of a party as a political killing, and you can't do that.
Mm.
You know, it's people who are in positions of importance in parties or government that you usually...
Okay. All right. So I mean, you've made many, many sort of insinuations at the moment, and the former police minister, Begicelo, we know he announced that he will not be coming back in the 7th administration, being complicit in covering up some of the political crimes or whatever it is that you're saying. I just want to know why it's happening in KZN on what seems to be. Okay, and that's sort of the gist of the conversation, Begicelo, where she's alleging that the statistics on political violence, on political killings, the issue that you've raised as a concern, that Salga raised as a concern, she basically used the word the stats are cobbled up to hide heavy-handed police behavior, alleging or insinuating brutality by your colleagues. So a confluence of politics and the police and cover-ups that you are even aware of. That's what she said, and she said even you were involved in grossly irregular behavior.
Well, it's a pity. This is a professor we're talking about, and the professor from the all her life has been in that. I don't know. Surely, I don't want to be personal, but she's not too young anymore. Maybe that would be some issues. She, one of the regularities that she spoke about is when that I have a political team that I've created there. That is incorrect. No team was created by Begicelo of political. It does exist. This team, Lerato, came in July 2018 when the president of the country, the new president, during his first term at the time, went to Maritzburg when Councillor Mchunu was killed and said to himself, enough is enough. And there he instructed the security ministers from the JCPS cluster I wish the core of there is the police, is the state security, defense, justice. There are others, and home affairs, but those are core. Instructed them to say, enough is enough, you go and deal with that matter. And the IMC was formed, not Cele. The IMC, that is Interministerial Committee, which was chaired by the Minister of Police, happened to be Cele. Then that team of political killing was then formed. Up to this point, that team has managed to deal with serious issues to such an extent that has dealt with 169 murder cases, where 171 people were killed. Those are political people that have been killed. From 331 cases reported of killings, ANC, IFP, and NFP are most victims, and then EFF and DA is a less victim. But when they investigated these cases, as she says, they are not political. As they investigate these political killings, they move to find that the hitman also is used on other things, like taxi violence, like cash heist and all that. And this team then will pursue those matters to find those people. Up to this point, Lerato, that team, since it was created, a total of 107 accused were found guilty. Okay. 19 of them are doing life. 39 of them are doing between 10 and 73 right. years. 28 of them are doing 1 to 9 years. So we are not going to say that team does not exist and right. does not work. And okay. it's definitely not LS team. Okay. That is a team that is overseen by the interministerial, instructed by right. the president to work on that. So you okay. can't accuse Cele okay. of creating his own team.
Okay, can we move beyond that interview in itself? Because what the interview was aiming to do, which is why we also had spoken to Robert Nechunda, was just saying the beefing up of security in KZN, what's informed that? It looks like it's heavy-handed. And Robert Nechunda said, no, actually, if you consider that there's a population of 12 million in and around KwaZulu-Natal, to deploy 1,200 is not even really sufficient for the needs around the elections, but the general needs of dealing with crime, whether politically motivated or just opportunistic. So from your point of view, what are some of the issues in KZN?
It's not only KZN where the security is beefed up, Lerato. Mm-hmm. Eastern Cape is. You remember that there was that big Umtata day before the election.
Yes, with the taxis.
Or on the first day, actually, of the election. So that big thing. But besides Umtata, personally, I was in Bizana because there were many issues there where people were protesting about water and every other thing. Mm. And then there was KZN. We've beefed it in the Western Cape, but also we've beefed in Mpumalanga. Mm. So there are four provinces where they've been beefed up. Mm. Well, if the media and everybody chooses to pick up KZN, yeah. nothing we can do about that.
Okay.
But historically, you'll also remember what happened in KZN yeah. in the year July 2021, yes. But also there were statements that some of them could have been anchored in KZN. Remember, there were members of the political party Umkhonto we Sizwe that were arrested even before election. Vis Van Rhet is one of them because he has appeared in court and Kanyile. They were calling to say if MK does not get two-thirds, there will be blood in the province. Mm. That's one. But also the leader of that organization made a call to say there would be no election. But he also made a call that there would be trouble if our results are announced. So such things you can't just rest. Mm. That is besides the information that has been collected by intelligence. But you can't just sit back and wait for the weather to come when such statements have been made.
Okay.
Indeed, we have learned our lessons, so we had to take that experience on planning and prevention rather than reaction.
And what you've just said, KZN has a context, and then there was also the issue of the politics and the heightened politics. But Mpumalanga has needed beefing up Eastern Cape with the taxi violence that flared up, Western Cape with the gangsterism and the taxi violence. So you've made interventions in at least 4 provinces out of 9 provinces. So let's move the conversation along briefly. I'm going to start off with myself, Minister Bekicele, and say that I've been hosting this show for 2.5 years, and I've been very vocal, I'm going to admit, about the fact that I was very uncomfortable with you as a Minister of Police. And I often used to say the Minister of Police has just revealed statistics to the public, and quarter on quarter, serious crimes are up. We've got a murder rate that's higher than any war zone that we can think of right now, except Gaza. And the minister just keeps telling us about these stats and then he walks away. We need accountability. And I'm really concerned that we're just not getting the right responses from the police ministry. I used to say that. I'm going to be honest with you. I also did say, I sometimes feel like it's a mismatch of skills, because when Bekicele was police commissioner, I feel like the police were emboldened. I feel like there we really saw something happening with crime in South Africa. We really saw an intervention. And I wonder whether Bekicele is a better police commissioner than he is a better police minister. I have said that. I wonder if you want to respond to not just me personally, but citizens who have that view.
Let's start from here. Half of the world does not issue crime stats, Lerato. Even big countries like your Brazil, especially in the Latin America, they don't issue crime stats. Now, I don't know where this comparison comes out when you say you are the worst and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that is a debate for the other day, when half of the world officially do not issue crime stats.
Okay.
Even very violent countries. There are violent countries where there are no crime stats.
Sorry, let me interject. So what are you saying is, if we feel like South Africa is the worst, it's only because we have the information. Other countries don't release information,
exactly.
So we don't know.
Exactly. We are one of those countries that were very transparent when it comes to the crime stats.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's that. The second one, that does not excuse us as South Africans, right? We are absolutely violent, especially the men. I don't know what happened with us as a South African man. You know, it's a terrible stat to say in 3 months, 10,000 women were raped in South Africa. Yeah. It's a terrible stat. Yeah. But 4,990 of them are raped in their own houses. That is 50% of the raped women, which means they are raped by their fathers. There is even siblings that rape siblings, stepfathers, uncles, and all that. For me and you, that goes beyond policing, Lerato.
Yeah.
When I rape my own daughter, yes, police will arrest me, but will definitely arrest me after I've raped my daughter, because I'm supposed to give custody and take care of that daughter. And they are raped in their own houses with the closed and locked doors in the midnight. So beyond policing, South Africa will have to do much more better. Hence, we produce the document as the police, but adopted that document by the cabinet, I think that was 2020, which is an integrated approach to say there are other things that need to be done to fight crime. One of them is an early intervention. For instance, the young kids that they fall out of school and all that, you know, I went to Cape Town and at Hanover Park. Parents were arguing that I must arrest a 9-year-old. It can't be, Lerato. Where are the parents? Where are other structures that need to help? We can't arrest in 9-year and 10-year-olds and all that kind of thing. So that is one thing. There's much to be done in South Africa, far beyond policing. But the other thing that we have raised is what is called is environmental design as South African police. If you are a job hacker, there is a place called Deep Slot here. In Deep Slot is most troublesome place in terms of policing and crime. There is a place they call Extension 1. If I walk with you in the middle of the night, I wouldn't see you. I would touch you. There are no roads. There are small passages, no lights, no numbers in the houses. If any crime happens there and you tell to direct the police to go to the crime scene, they'll only come in the morning because they won't find the place. So it's unlike when I send them to Sentin, when I say, is the Lerato Street number 222, there is light, they'll be there, they'll respond, they'll find the thing. So there are many other things to be done. Indeed, we fully accept that South Africa is a criminal country, but much more will have to be done far beyond policing to make South Africans much safer.
Okay. Minister, if we could just beg your indulgence, we're going to take the news headlines and then we can wrap up our conversation.
Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Yes, thank you for staying with us as we just conclude our conversation with the former minister. It feels strange to say that the former minister of police, Bheki Cele. So what you did say to us, former minister, is that, you concede that crime is an intractable problem in South Africa. And even if you were to put boots on ground, add more resources, it would still be a huge problem in South Africa because a lot of crimes are happening in what are supposed to be private, safe spaces, our homes, especially crimes like sexual violence. And so, even with their best efforts, the police are overwhelmed and we need a whole national intervention. Families need to be involved. Community policing forums need to be involved. Statisticians, academics, everybody needs to be all hands on deck, if I understood you correctly.
You did. But that does not mean that police can improve. You spoke about mishmash of maybe skills commissioner vis-a-vis the minister. It's funny, Lerato. When I was a commissioner, everybody was speaking about the commissioner of police. Now, when I don't think many people they know who was a minister at the time. Now I'm a minister. People they speak about ministers don't talk about the police, a commissioner. So which means you follow the man, not the job that is supposed to be happening in the camp.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the story. The policing in South Africa is in the hand of the national commissioner.
Yeah.
It's very little that the minister can do when you look at your constitution and the legislation. When national commissioner, so many structures were put in place. Unfortunately, I must stand here and say, and they were dismantled by my successor in a very bad way. For instance, we had 195,000 police when I was National Commissioner in 2010. As I came back as a minister, we had only 172,000, with 63 million South Africans. Then we're 50. We're building that. That's why for the cycle of 3 years, we have been taking 10,000 training, thanks to the president who have allowed us to do that.
Mm.
That figure will give us 2010 figure, not 2024 figure.
Mm.
So the figures themselves of the police are working. The visibility of the police, people, they talk about the shortage of police at the police station. Yes, indeed, because the numbers have been dwindled and people did not work on those numbers. Secondly, the people that were there who were doing the job that you talk about in 2010 when life was better. For instance, one of the top police officers in South Africa happened to be Libya, the head of the Hawks.
Mm.
He's got two degrees, two PhDs in law and all. He was fired. The head of Hawks, Ramat, was fired by my successor, and he brought one of the most useless and actually the con man to be the head of that. He's somewhere in politics, somewhere in Free State now and all that. The structure, we created a special unit called Amabaret, most famous and loved in the township. Those people were dismantled and all that. So there was a systematic dismantlement of the law enforcement agencies, of which we are busy building them now to be able to see them functioning properly. Unfortunately, South Africans are not taking that on board. And it's true, they are correct, but because they want to see results now and here, we don't have much time to build, and we must run as we work. But that's the crux of the matter.
All right, so my last question to you is just your reflection. And obviously, if you're not retained in the position, or if you take full retirement, whatever you choose to do with your life, there's going to be need to be some kind of a handover. So for the future police minister, if it's not you, what would your advice be? Because as you say, we have a huge, huge problem here, and it touches every aspect of social life. A young girl is not sure if she goes to school, walk to school, if she's coming back violated or not. A mother or a father doesn't know when they leave their home. Is this the day they lose their life to a hijacking? We are driving on the highway, listening to our music in the cars, but we don't know at any point in time if there can be a cash in transit heist on the highway in broad daylight, you know, and all manner of things. You don't know if you're going to get kidnapped by a syndicate as a businessman or a businesswoman. So the crime in South Africa is touching everyone's life in very real and visceral terms.
Well, I fully agree with you. But I have prepared my report. It's quite thick. Few things to do is to continue to make a call that all communities must be part of fighting crime across the board. But also, that minister will have to take his or her place in government to say everybody must do his or her piece. One of that is to take care of kids. For instance, Lerato, when kids start school at grade A or grade R now, there will be millions of them. When they pass matric, it's 500,000 of them. Nobody asks where the other 500,000. Those 500,000 are exactly that are under the bridges. We call them mama para and all that kind of thing. Those are the kids that they knock at your window and all that kind of thing. So everybody must take care where the kids they start, they go and end. But also bring communities on board. Hence, for the first time, we budgeted for our CPFs on the last year, continue on that, strengthen the structures. But other departments, for instance, there must be jobs in South Africa. With such a high unemployment and all that, it would be difficult. We're not giving them an excuse that if they don't work, if you're unemployed, it must be a criminal. But it's something that will really help. It's something which if most people are at work and all that. So the government, pushed by the ministry that is given the responsibility of dealing with the crime, that will be. But also one thing that will have to continue is to improve the cluster itself. In front of me, I'm sure you saw the killing that happened in the Papa Shop in Cape Town in Khayelitsha last week, where four people, including kids, were shot. A person who killed that person is on bail, Lerato. It's on bail, and it's got six serious cases like car hijack withdrawn by the court, which means it can't just be the police alone. It should be the whole cluster going forward. Those ministries in that cluster will have to tighten things and work together. Indeed, there will be way forward. It's tough. I fully agree with you. But there are things that are happening. For instance, you talk about cash heist. Cash heist, there was a time when it was a daily happening. Yeah. I think the crime intelligence is beginning to work on that one, because most of the cash heist guys now are found in their bases even before they go out there. There are shootings and all, especially in the province like KZN and Limpopo. You remember the shooting that took place in Makado and all. Those are crime-driven program and activities. So we need to improve. But across the board, all of us will have to work harder to make South Africans safe, but South Africans also to feel safe. They should not be told that they're safe. They must feel that they're safe.
All right. Minister Bekicele, I want to thank you for your time. I'm going to leave on these
former
words.
Former
Minister Bekicele, I want to just say to you, we have heeded the call for stomach ins and chest outs.
Keep that one going. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, officers!
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.